Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is January 16, 2025 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also being made available telephonically for access by the public. Val Lingasamy, the Director of IT, will provide information on this meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning. This is Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1430. Thank you.
Thank you, Val. This is Corinne Meyer speaking, General Counsel of RA Housing. Members of the public can view the RA Housing website to view today's agenda and information on each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman Stephen Pryor will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioner, staff, and guests, please do state your name for the record each and every time prior to speaking. With that, I will turn it over to Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Good morning. It's Stephen. I'm calling the meeting to order at 9:36 a.m. I'm going to ask Carol to conduct a roll call attendance to start us off.
Sure. Commissioner McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Barry.
Here.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner Joseph.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Weber.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabrera.
Here.
Chairman.
Item one is approval of the minutes of the meeting that was December 19th. Would you take a quick additional look at the minutes, see if you have any edits or questions? And I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve, Mr. Steve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Upon reflection, any edits or questions?
I recuse myself.
There's a recusal from Maria. Anyone else? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on December 19th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 affirmative votes and 1 recusal. The motion's approved.
Entering into item 2, what I will express this morning is gratitude that we have a good but brief agenda this morning, and I will note that most of the action items, if not all of them, have been reviewed in the management committee. And with that very brief introduction, I'm going to head into item 3, which is the executive director's review of recent activities and trends. And materials before us, I turn it over to Carol for that presentation.
Thank you, Chairman. Briefly on the executive director report, because I do want to focus on the strategic plan update for all of you. We have updated the EED report for 25 goals, and I wanted to share that we had a great event, Dentistry Commons groundbreaking market, developed many, many units in area, and the team under Chris prepared a summary of governance report that the Department of Housing has released to the back of the report. I'm happy to answer questions on that if you have any, but otherwise I'll proceed into update it.
Are there questions on the report inclusive of the summary of the department's governance report? Hearing none at this time, Carol, please.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You should have a copy of the update at your place.
This one, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Talking a little bit about the process. In June of 24, we contracted with Integrated Partners to examine data, interview key stakeholders, all the board members, to evaluate the status and applicability of the 2022 strategic plan and how the new research and engagement process may change the plan moving forward. MP conducted 52 interviews with a range of stakeholders, elected officials, and again, board members. The firm also reviewed a series of documents, including reports by Housing Works RI, RIPAC, the Furman Center related to the public developer model, the governance study that was prepared by the Rhode Island Department of Public Affairs. Nintegrit also received agency documents, our five-year production plan, and conducted some analysis related to specific issues and opportunities identified during the research phase. So why are we doing this now? Our board chair urged us to undertake a review of the strategic plan, to review goals to ensure that they're still appropriate for the agency, identify any new needs or gaps in the systems that developed, certainly based upon the receipt of state fiscal recovery funding. Availability of funding for various housing programs deploying these resources, and a need for the agency to prioritize programs and initiatives going forward. The State Department of Housing is charged with developing a statewide housing plan and governance strategy to align policymaking and housing programs that certainly will impact Rhode Island housing. A few items that are important to note. The agency's strategic plan was created in 2022. A lot of the research that went into the plan was conducted in 2021, and that was prior to the establishment of the Department of Housing. During this process, the Department of Housing embarked on that development of a statewide housing plan, governance structure to align policymaking, decision-making associated with housing. These efforts were conducted during our research on our strategic plan. So during the interview, stakeholders expressed that it was difficult for them to weigh in on strategies or to juggle the agency without understanding the role of the State Department vis-a-vis Rhode Island. And I believe this would be a challenge for us as well. Not knowing what programs will stay with Rhode Island Housing, what guidance stays with Rhode Island Housing, and what then migrates over to the House Department. The following are key findings from the interview conducted. Related to governance and coordination, concern over funding processes moving forward, the board structure of Rhode Island Housing, the role of the House Rhode Island Housing. Again, many of these observations were solicited prior to the release of the reports by the department. Proactive development, folks expressed a lack of clarity around the role, what the entity is doing or charged with doing. Is it a competitor? Does the president work for the CEO of Rhode Island Housing? Will it divert funds from Rhode Island Housing's core mission? And the principal area of concern, will Rhode Island Housing prioritize details that are formulated or assisted through the proactive development arm have already committed to investing resources? Our organizational business model concerns about the future financial outlook of the agency because of development issues impacting new projects like NIMBYism and site constraints. Because this impacts our fee generation. Changes to the mortgage market with new commercial entrants encroaching on single-family mortgage business. We believe that this relates more to REITs buying single-family homes than taking single-family inventory. The lack of housing to generate single-family mortgage closings and our ability to create new sources of flexible revenue other than program management fees. What programs shift over? Systems capacity related topics include nonprofit developer balance sheets impacting their ability to raise outside capital, PHA and new nonprofit entrance into the development space, limitations on their expertise to do development deals. The small contractor base that we have in Rhode Island and how it's impacting pricing, project timing, and limited planning capacity at the local municipal level, which, of course, proactive development was created to try to help with that. and the aging of leadership in key organizations and companies, including Rhode Island Housing. Financial resources, available resources are not keeping pace with costs. The lower cost of ACT rehab versus the new production, and how do we prioritize and balance that as an agency? One comment was made, which I think is relevant, not enough money to build our way out of this problem. Rising costs also include construction insurance costs across the board, cost of construction financing, O&M insurance, and rising utility rates. Development. The division remains a key topic of discussion for those interviewees who interact with it. We know this, and every year we try to do better, but there's always more feedback that suggests we need to do even more better. So issues range from unclear communications around how projects are scored. We are too hands-on compared to other housing finance agencies. Project oversight has implications for deal costs. Concerns about the time and amount of rework, especially with fast-changing commodity availability and costs and the tight contractor market impacting projects. Innovation, of course, the need to support innovation in construction techniques, more best practices, novel practice sharing, ability to bring pilot programs to scale, for example, our NOAA program, data sharing for performance improvement. Communication, leverage Rhode Island Housing's strong reputation in the housing sector, both locally and nationally, a general lack of knowledge about various programs and initiatives, including among our board members and political leadership. We need to do a better job of using our goodwill and trust to help inform housing policy discussions. Communication about future spending plans, what is not getting funded going forward, in a resource-constrained funding environment, not just production, but also our program budget, programs like the LIFT NDF program and the SEALS program, and relationships with our minority communities, better outreach and communication needed with our minority business partners, and also do better in this area. So our proposed next steps, evaluating proposed modifications to agency goals and strategies, keeping in mind that we don't know what will come out of the governance structure or this statewide housing plan. Revamp agency performance reporting. We heard clearly from you us to focus on that, and we've been working on that. Evaluating a scorecard approach to performance reporting and monitoring the impacts to the agency based on the state housing department structure. Jim.
Questions from colleagues? Maybe I'll kick us off. Thank you very much for this. This is intended as a way to say this has been an active process. We thank Carol and the team working with Ninigrit on this. These are at the very least, some of the key issues that need to be surfaced, especially in light of the Department of Governance report, all the moving parts in the Rhode Island world of housing, and good articulation of next steps. On that, I guess my question is, what would you foresee, Carol, in terms of further dialogue with the department, the governor's office, legislative leadership? Are there elements of what you've now been able to raise up as questions and possible solutions that you want to start incorporating even sooner? Speak a little bit more to that.
Yeah, I think that the Housing Department has been very engaged with us around what their thoughts are, what their strategies are moving forward, and the reasons why. And many of those whys make perfect sense. I wish I had some conclusive information to share with you, but I don't know. I don't know what will happen when this goes before the Assembly or the Governor's Office and, you know, other folks weigh in on this. I think we need to continue the course for the agency and continue to do what we do and work through the details as they arise with various programs migrating. And I don't see that happening quickly. I don't know that the Housing Department is staffed well enough to be able to absorb many of the programs, but I think certainly Their role as a policymaker will be important for the state and for us and for bringing all of the organizations that touch housing together so that we're all moving in the same direction. I hope that's responsive.
It totally is. Question, you and I, Carol, talked about at the management committee after the full board heard the broad outlines of what's been happening. Maybe at the management committee we can dive a little deeper just to ask questions. All of this is in the context of the broader effort by the General Assembly to do governance reform or legislation in the case and the department's efforts. So how does that sound? Should we go to management committee and do that? And might we invite Integrate partners to be present and
sure, we
might
can do that.
Partially answer questions?
Yeah.
How does that sound to folks? Get into more detail there. All of it intended to just probe the questions more, raise the questions appropriately, make sure everyone knows the good work that's happened here.
Certainly.
Any other comments on doing that, for starters? Okay, Rebecca.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen brought up one of the major existential changes of the last couple of years, the added to the housing department, but in the beginning of the presentation, it also speaks to the depletion of SFRS.
Yeah.
And there was a world before SFRS where Rhode Island Housing was very successful, but I guess the world looks really different. So my question is, to what extent do you think you'll be looking at the pre-2020, pre-2021 version of Rhode Island Housing, or do you think it'll be so different that it's sort of incomparable with SFRS?
Well, I'll remind the board that we do have a housing bond, right? Mm-hmm. So that is going to carry us through at least the next couple of years. And you may recall we had an acquisition program with fiscal recovery funds and a pre-development program. So there is a pipeline that would be ready, I hope, to tap into that housing bond. I think we've pretty much committed all of our fiscal recovery funding. Is that correct? Yeah. Just a tiny amount of middle income left. So we're anxious about the housing bond and having those resources available. You know, we have our home program and our housing trust fund. That's between the two around $6 million. And home we only use for rental production, and HTF is extremely targeted, so extremely low-income households, so we have limitations. I think we go back to evaluating once it's over, and if we are in a resource-scarce environment, I think we go back to evaluating programs like our deferred payment loan, which we've used in the past, and I think we can anticipate much lower production. Anything, feedback, Shane, the team?
No, I think that's accurate. I think it's important to know, too. It you know, I think we will look similar despite the loss of the SFRF dollars because we were able to administer those without, you know, a huge lift in staff. We were able to do, you know, our existing staff did a phenomenal job in getting that money out in the time that they did. So it's not as if it's going to be a big cliff to drop off in that regard. I think, as Carol said, we do have an excellent pipeline of projects, and it's just a matter of, you know, working within the current constraints to get as many of them done as possible.
And perhaps our municipal partners step up and they create program on a local level, or they have opportunity to tap programs that are not available to us that the governor or the assembly may. So it's not doom, right? I mean, we've always managed to produce housing and fund housing in the state, but it is very likely it will look different.
Other questions?
I have a couple comments. So one, you know, my hope here is that as the leaders come together, that there's not enough capacity to not be clear of
yes.
kind of who's doing one. So I think that could be really important goal of everybody. You know, I think the partnership could be fantastic,
yeah.
right? Like, this is the first time we've had multi-dimensional focus mm-hmm. on housing. I always think of this saying, you know, you want to go fast, go alone, want to go far, go together. And I think going far is going to require that really great coordination. So it should only be better. I also just think that, you know, housing is complex, and that, fortunately, Rhode Island Housing and the department have great expertise. But I would just be wondering if whoever else might be weighing in on this, takes the time to understand it. It's easy to kind of make rash judgments, make it simple, and it's not, you know.
It is not.
And we have a lot of expertise that we want to retain. So I think that, you know, just from a leadership standpoint, I hope that's how it's viewed. And I'd also say, you know, Stephanie and I were talking about this, that, you know, the bond's a big deal, because we're at Affordable Housing Finance, which was a slide, and it wasn't like every state or city had bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Rhode Island was on the top, and it had the biggest, mm-hmm. too. So I think that's a really big win, and something that you just mentioned, and we should really be proud of, and mm-hmm. if this can all be tied together, it can be something really great.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anything else for right now? Great preliminary review of where it stands. Thank you for bringing us back up to speed. Asset Management Committee, by the way, one last question first for Carol. How would you feel about having the department sit in on that meeting so that they're part of that part of the discussion?
Certainly the department as well. I think we have a representative of the department here.
Perfect. So maybe we'll even just bring them up to the table for that part of the discussion when there are questions. Well, what was anticipated here in the report? They have questions about what's in the strategic plan as it's evolving?
Yeah. I can ask Deborah if she'd be willing to do that with her team. Yeah.
It's obviously up to her.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any modifications to anything just said or questions before we proceed? Thank you so much for doing this, Carol. Really appreciate it. All right. On to action four. This is approval of the external charitable donations and contributions. For this matter, Mr. James Comer.
Thank you. As the board knows, from time to time, we come before you to get approval for charitable contributions, which by and large are efforts in support of some of our great partners, and in this case, it's no different. This past November, we sent eight folks from our homeownership group to the annual dinner for the Rhode Island Mortgage Bankers Association. It's a great organization that, through the good work of Peter Pagonis and his department, we've become, quite active in. We have Lisa Cabral on our team is on the board of the organization, and it's a great partnership for us as far as our single family lending, broadening our reach and keeping good contacts with that community. So it was for $640, again, for eight people to attend that on November 24th, and happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Mr. Steve.
Motion by Stephen.
Second by James.
Seconded by the treasurer. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, Corey, would you do the honors?
All those in favor of approving external charitable donations and contributions as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion is approved.
Item five is approval of amendment to Lead Safe Homes Consulting and Training Services Engagement. This relates to RCWP, and for this purpose, Ms. Christine Huntsinger is going to present. Chris.
Thank you. This is Chris Huntsinger. This request for action seeks approval to amend our existing engagement with Residential Construction Workforce Partnership, which is the nonprofit arm of the builders, to provide consulting services and a training program to build the capacity of contractors working with the Lead Safe Homes program. Due to challenges of lead remediation work, which requires special licensing and training, we found it difficult to attract and retain contractors. So in February of 2023, we issued an RFP seeking proposals from qualified firms to provide worker training and contract capacity building training. In November 2023, the board approved the engagement with RCWP to provide such services. The current agreement for those services includes an option to renew the initial one-year engagement for up to three additional one-year terms. However, at the time we presented it, we only asked for 1 year of funding. So we're back asking that you increase the total funding to $300,000, inclusive of the $120,000 that you've already approved, so that we can continue with this program. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Motion, James.
Moved by the treasurer. Is there a second?
Second, Rebecca.
Seconded by Rebecca. Another shot of questions. Hearing none, Corey, would you?
All those in favor of approving an amendment to the Lead Safe Homes Consulting and Training Services Engagement with Residential Construction Workforce Partnership as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have seven affirmative votes. Motion's approved.
All right. On to Action 6, which is approval of Maine Legal Counsel. And for this purpose, Corey, you yourself are going to present?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairman. As many of you know, Rhode Island Housing, doing business as Mortgage Servicing Solution, provides mortgage loan subservicing services to the State of Maine Housing Authority. This partnership was just renewed for a new term at the end of December, which we're very pleased about. RI Housing's role involves, among other things, handling foreclosure, bankruptcy, and eviction matters arising out of this Maine portfolio. In anticipation of that work and in continuation, we did an RFP to identify one or more law firms in Maine who had the ability and expertise to support the related legal work on the ground in Maine. We received two proposals, one from Eaton Peabody for foreclosure, bankruptcy, and evictions, and one from Perkins Thompson specifically for bankruptcy and mortgage servicing litigation. Eaton Peabody is our current provider. Perkins Thompson has been a provider on this list in the past and for other legal matters. They are both full-service law firms with decades of experience, around 100 years for both. Perkins has four offices. Perkins is headquartered in Portland. Eaton has four offices throughout Maine. Our selection committee, which was comprised of loan servicing staff as well as staff from my department, evaluated the proposals and determined that they both met our standard. Both firms were able to provide good references, and we evaluated their performance and determined that they had provided good representation in the past and reasonable value. Our opinion is that both firms are well qualified to provide services throughout Maine, and that the rates that they're proposing align well with our investor requirements, and we would like to recommend that we engage both for service in this area. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions? Rebecca.
Thank you, Stephanie. Corey, just a question about how you compare the rates, because obviously it's a different market and really different Rhode Island legal services.
Yes.
Is it ultimately, is the client Rhode Island Housing doing business as Mortgage Solutions, as you described, or is it the individual who is experiencing the legal process that you described?
Both great questions. So RI Housing is the client. RI Housing works with the Maine State Housing Authority to establish an acceptable fee schedule. Most of those fees are actually set by the various investor programs, Fannie Mae or FHA. So mostly we are working in an environment that's kind of highly regulated in terms of what's able to be charged through to a customer. So this makes the rate comparison relatively straightforward. But to your question, those rate schedules are sensitive to location, so they provide different thresholds for the various states. And you're right, the Maine reimbursement rates are different than the Rhode Island reimbursement rates. It also depends on Maine is a judicial foreclosure state, whereas Rhode Island is a non-judicial foreclosure state, and costs are sometimes lower as a result of that dynamic. But thank you. Very good question.
Thank you.
Any other questions? A quick question here. Given that there are two firms, how do we allocate work as between them?
Yep. So the firms are not offering exactly the same scope of work, so there's that. We have two firms now who are capable of providing bankruptcy, so they'll kind of trade off. Eaton will continue to be the foreclosure counsel primarily, and then also Perkins will provide service if we have any loan servicing litigation issues coming out of that portfolio. But for the piece that where there's overlap, which is the bankruptcy piece, we will trade off and see how they each do and how costs compare and whether we're getting good value ultimately.
Make a judgment.
Yeah.
On that basis. Great. Good answer. One last, anybody? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved, Rebecca.
By Rebecca, is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, Ms. Myers, would you please take the vote on your item?
Happy to. All those in favor of the approval of Maine Legal Counsel as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. I think we have 7 affirmative votes. The motion is approved. Thank you all.
Thank you. Item 7, authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds. And this is the last item. So, Ms. MacArthur, would you please present?
Hi, thank you, Karen. This is Mary MacArthur. This request for single family bonding authority is a routine item that comes to the board about once a year to allow us to continue our single family bonding program. In the course of 2024, we issued about $540 million in single family bonds. Our latest issuance was executed this past fall, and the proceeds from that issuance are expected to be fully utilized by the end of this month. So we intend to go to market again this February. Based on the current pipeline of registration non-production estimate, staff anticipates issuing approximately $15 million in single family bonds over the next 12 to 18 months. This will go to fund new mortgages, down payment assistance, and potentially take advantage of any refunding that we might be able to take advantage of. So we're seeking authorization for the issuance of up to $600 million in single family bonds to fund the homeownership opportunity program, homeownership opportunity bond program. The authority is expected to cover approximately the next 3 to 4 bond issuances and would expire in September of 2026. This will allow us to continue to fund our government insured programs and the down payment assistance over the next 3 years.
Questions?
This is Kevin North. I have a question. Kevin. More for Peter than you, Brent. Looking at the list of participating mortgage originators and done a fantastic job in getting widespread, I think, support out of the community with other lenders. I'm just curious, in a summary fashion, what type of underwriting do these participating lenders do, and then what do we do once it's brought to us?
Right. So we have 2 channels for our external partners. We have 1 broker channel, and we have a correspondent lender channel. So for the mortgage broker channel, those are the smaller entities. They don't have a big staff. Sometimes they don't have in-house underwriters. So they merely originate the loan and send us the loan to originate. To process partly, underwriting most importantly, in fund. Those close in our name, Rhode Island Housing. Under the correspondent lender umbrella, there's two types of clients. There's one who has delegated underwriting authority. So they have usually a strong underwriting team, they have experience, they have a strong balance sheet, and they originate, underwrite, close in their name, and then after our post-closing due diligence provider reviews the loan post-closing, we receive a green light to purchase from them, and then we execute as we wish, whether it's a bond or a TBA market, etc. And the other type of correspondent lender does not have to delegate underwriting authority. So they originate, they underwrite, we also underwrite, we take a second look, if you will, close it in their name, and we also buy it. Certainly a privilege to have delegated underwriting status with Rhode Island Housing. It's probably around 8 or 9 or so presently. And they seem to be the largest producers. That's how it's set up, it's arranged.
And how often are they reviewed?
We have an annual certification process, which is spearheaded by our quality control group, and they have to fill out a questionnaire. We ask to see their insurance, their finances. We ask if there's been any big management changes. So they have to do that on a yearly basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Is there a second?
Second.
Maria Barry. Second by Maria. Further opportunity for questions? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Yes. All those in favor of extending authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds in the amount of $600 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay.
I have to recuse.
Okay, we have 1 recusal, and I believe we have 6 affirmative votes, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
Very good. Item 8, presentation on FTC safeguards rule compliance, and Mr. Pelletier is going to present. Brett, are you going to do that?
I am indeed.
Thank you, Brett.
This is Brett Pelletier. You have in front of you a written memo that is our formal report on FTC safeguard rule compliance, but I just wanted to offer the opportunity to answer any questions and give a brief presentation. So as part of the compliance, we have to tick two boxes addressing the status of our information and data security program in compliance with the safeguards rule, and disclose any material matters relating to our information security program. The long and the short of it is we have deployed a zero trust policy to our information and data security platforms and our physical security platform as well, which means we never trust, always verify. So we have a very strong posture on data security. We have two full-time data security folks here employed at the agency that take this very seriously. And that permeates through all of the safeguards rules and requirements. Happy to answer any questions. I would ask, any hyper-specific detail and security questions we can take offline, but happy to answer any general questions on the matter.
Questions? I'll start with one. In light of the security concerns that have arisen here and in other jurisdictions around the country and the world, are there new things that we are doing, or is there dialogue with Deloitte and with the Department of Administration and other leading players on our own recent challenges in the state?
We're aware of all of the issues, and our security team is very seriously related issues. We do not cross lines very frequently with the state or other agencies from our internal data practices. I can follow up with some more technical information, but we are constantly monitoring, but I would suggest that the separation and the, in this instance, silos are good. We keep our data separate from the larger pool and firewalls that prevent commingling of data or transition through our data.
Makes really good sense, and I although I'm no expert, I would not question that choice, which is to not intermingle data. But what I would just ask aloud is whether it would make sense. Obviously, folks are very appropriately focused on the problem at hand within the state proper. But I wonder whether it would make sense for Rhode Island Housing to outreach just to say, are there already lessons learned, or are there?
Oh, absolutely. So okay. There are groups, both at state and the federal level, that are basically think tanks, and we are members of a number of these groups, and Nate, who is our senior security engineer, is active in some of these groups, and there's other state agencies in other states, some of them nearby, have offered sort of to peel back the curtain and give us some inside information on what their experiences were when these events happened and what they've learned. So it's a very cooperative community. There's
great.
One or two major organizations that do that. They share information and learn. Absolutely.
Questions? Rebecca.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for the commentary, Brett. I know that the presentation was largely about internal safeguards and controls, but I was wondering if the agency does carry a cyber insurance policy.
We do.
And thank you. And subsequently, in evaluating contracts with vendors, if vendors interact with the data, if there are also rigorous requirements, you don't have to get into the details of the vendor's cyber policy or their protection.
So typically when we release an RFP for any entity that is going to interact with data, we do require, even those that don't, we do require them to disclose their data security and management practices and disclose any breaches or security that have them.
Thank you.
And that's reviewed by data security engineers and the director of IT.
Other questions?
I have just one question. How's the search for our new IT director?
It is complete. We've had one on board for a month and a half now.
Oh, okay. Great to hear.
Getting stuff now.
Other questions?
Just I think it's good that you have those organizations that kind of share, because I know within the business community a few years ago when these things really started popping up, no one wanted to admit they got taken, and then no one wanted to discuss, and that was a big hindrance, so I think it's good now.
And there's a large influence in that community from the military, from a military standpoint background, which helps that very straightforward problems solution.
Yep.
Great. Anything else? Carol, anything you want to?
Yes, one thing I forgot. We were very pleased to have a significant increase in our continuum of care program. The awards just came out, and of course, we always thank Senator Reed for his work. I have the data here. We received a 10% increase. We are now at almost $5 million for our permanent supportive housing program. And we had an 18% increase in the planning grant, which is critical for the entire system in the state of Rhode Island. So we are now at approximately $750,000. Statewide, we've increased to a little bit over $17 million, a 10% total increase. So you'll see a press release coming out shortly. So great work by our team here at Rhode Island Housing and the entire system.
Thank you for that. With that, Carol, James, no further business.
No further business.
Corey, are we ready to take the last motion in this meeting before breaking and doing a new meeting?
That's correct.
Okay, great.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, there is no further business, and I request a motion to adjourn. Is there such a motion?
So
I'll second.
Moved by Maria, seconded by Kevin. There's no discussion on such item, I would imagine. So, Corey, would you take the vote, please?
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote to adjourn. Thank you.